Who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out your hair. I hold deep in muddy waters. You practically raised the dead.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And we're bringing you an additional episode this week to teach some more Tool. We began this journey months ago.
Mm-hmm.
The journey, for those of you that have not been on the path since the beginning.
The lesson plan.
I am a big fan of the progressive metal band Tool. Mark is not. And my mission in four episodes and four albums is to convince him that Tool is a band that's worth caring about, and not even going to say that you should like it or have an interest in it, but
I should understand.
You should understand it, and you should maybe value its presence in the scene and what it did for prog rock metal music. We have
that
since
genre we all
that,
love
that
and know
amalgamation.
Right.
We have discussed Tool's Enema previously, and Mark was overall not a huge fan.
I hate it.
Not a big fan. We are hoping to curb that today with the second of four albums. Today we'll be discussing Tool's most recent album, released in 2006,
mm-hmm.
11 years ago at this point, 10,000 Days.
Right.
This is, I think, in a lot of ways, their most polished performance, their most restrained, but I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about it, Mark.
Yeah, I mean,
here we are again, on the stage of history.
This is definitely a journey. It took me a really long time the first time to listen to Enema, a year actually passed.
Yeah.
Between us deciding to do this and me getting around to listening to Enema.
Or you got the gumption to tackle that album.
And I did, and it was hard.
You swallowed that pill.
Yeah, because I decided that,
life's worth living.
Well, it's like, you know, you can either jump in to the deep end or just sort of like slowly go down the ladder in the shallow end. You're like, oh, it's cold.
Practice kicking first.
I just can't withstand the torture any longer. So
okay.
I
ripping it off like a Band-Aid now.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Plus, I was interested in knowing that this was a Grammy-friendly band.
Yeah.
At this point.
We are sitting with the physical release in front of us here.
Didn't do last time.
No. That is really the only way for you to get your hands on this kind of music. It's not released digitally. It's not streaming anywhere. The
right.
only way you can listen to Tool is to go out and actually buy the Tool record. So this 10,000 Days is a Grammy award-winning album for best packaging. Back in 2006. For those of you that don't have the record on hand, you can look online and find the cover
mm-hmm.
with the mysterious three-faced being there. I want to talk a little bit about the artist in a bit, but it comes with a set of goggles and some 3D imaging throughout, images of the band members themselves, plus some other images created by the artist that works for the band.
Right. But like staged images, right? Like I was looking through it, like they were
clearly
kind of wearing weird stuff. They're in like a dressing room.
In a space that is somewhat emblematic of their personality and interests.
Right. Sorry, I just want to make sure I have the track listing pulled up here on my phone.
Okay. The artist is Alex Gray. It's a sort of dream-like artist. There's a word for his style. I can't think of it right now. But it's like Dali and those other ones that do like weird, bizarre, abstract,
so
dream-like.
Like impressionist?
Not impressionist.
Psychedelic.
No, maybe psychedelic was the best word for it. There's their word.
I think psychedelia is present within the art.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And so he's got a bunch of images that he creates on his own. And around the previous album, Lateralis, Tool kind of adopted him as their fifth member, visionary. So he's responsible for all of the covers, the artwork. He did this cover here. A lot of the visuals you'll see at Tool live shows are created by Alex Gray.
Right.
He's a very important presence in the band, as well as being his own artist on top of that.
When did you say he started?
Back in 2001 with their previous album, Lateralis. He did the cover art and some inside stuff for that album.
Okay, well.
But he was an artist well before then and does
right.
his own individual stuff outside of Tool.
Like that guy who did the art for Kanye West Graduation? Who, if
sure,
you
yeah.
look at his
bear.
Art, it's pretty much his aesthetic,
yeah.
but now everyone just knows
West.
Him as the guy who did the Kanye West album.
Yeah, I think if you look at Alex Gray's stuff, you would think Tool, if you know the band Tool, and certainly a lot of his images, when you come up and search his name on Google, come from the album inserts. But he has a huge collection of other stuff that's his own as well.
I'm sure that the amount of people who like his art who don't like Tool is a very slim percentage. Yeah, of
I think you're right. What did you think about the packaging? You flipped through this while you were listening to the album.
I did.
It's a new experience, a new tactile experience for you.
Yes, that's a good word for it. I did. I went the whole nine yards. I attempted to experience this album as best I could, as best as you're supposed to. I didn't want to sort of half-ass my Tool experience. I'll say that, like, I felt kind of like an idiot, maybe, like, looking through the goggles at the images, but, I'm not a fan of this guy as an artist, but okay. I will say, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind their stage photos of them in front of the dressing room. I think they're goofy, maybe, just kind of dumb. But I didn't hate it looking at it. I wasn't, like, repulsed by it, necessarily. It just kind of flew by. I didn't feel like I was really gaining much, but I didn't feel annoyed about the experience.
Something kind of neat.
It's whatever, yeah. I don't know.
So, this image in particular, this is Danny Carey. He's the drummer for the band. And this image is great because there's this flash of light up over his shoulder descending into this pot that he's kind of closing a lid over.
The lightning dildo, right?
Yes.
He looks like he's capturing a ghost.
Yes,
he looks like
he's capturing a
Ghostbuster.
So according to legend, Danny Carey has tamed a spirit.
I hate this. What?
And the spirit that he has tamed lives inside of his drum kit. And if he performs certain drum moves over a period of time, he can release that energy.
Drum moves?
Like drum techniques, like certain drumming pattern on his drums.
Like a fireball or a spin kick.
Yeah.
Drum moves? What do you mean?
You know, like drumming patterns. I'm trying to find an image of Danny Carey's drum set from the top down. He's just a very complex drum set.
Oh my God.
There's a lot happening.
You prog rock bands and your nonsense.
There's a lot that takes place to get everything in order.
No, there's no need for that. There's no way that improves the music.
Right. But you can see on his pads here, he has actual like occult symbols engraved into the pads.
Yeah, I can see it.
So they're meant to stimulate some kind of pagan energy.
Okay.
That is released when hitting a certain number of drums in the right order. You know, like when you play video games and you type in a code and you get like the bonus? Think of it like that in
Band. I'm not familiar with getting the bonus. Could you describe that
you
in greater detail?
You press the buttons and you get the bonus.
Okay.
Left, right, up, down, A, B, start.
BA start, actually.
BA start. Excuse me. Nerd alert.
Whoops.
You get the ghost spirit to come hang out.
An extra life.
Yeah. So there's that. let's get into the heart of this thing.
Great.
Let's talk about the music. We've got some big singles on this record. We start off with a big song, was featured in Guitar Hero World Tour, Vicarious.
Is that why it's a big song?
One of three songs featured in Guitar Hero World Tour, Vicarious, Parabola, and Schism. Did you have any thoughts on Vicarious here?
Wait, Parabola? Oh, you're saying it was in the game, not
in
this
Guitar
album.
Hero World
okay,
Tour.
I was
right.
going to say, I don't remember.
Vicarious is, though.
Vicarious is.
Let me remind you a little bit. Let me play a little bit of Vicarious.
Okay, great.
Thoughts?
I'm gonna tell you what, that's a way better opening than the last one.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just be straight out. This is the right length for a Tool song. Most of the tracks
that's
that
7 minutes
over 7 minutes are insufferable, and I'm just gonna say this right now, I like that song.
It's pretty good, right?
It's a good song. It's I think it's a little dorm roomy. I think all of this album is, but I enjoyed it. Listening to this album, I was like, okay, you didn't start out with something that was like vomit in my ears. You know,
okay.
I had an okay time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Definitely more produced than the last album.
Definitely.
Polished.
I almost feel like they're being... I got the sense, having done no Googling or research or anything, I got the sense that they were more constrained creatively, that maybe there was a producer who was forcing them maybe to be more accessible, that I appreciated.
Yeah. There were some comments in the lead up to this album that they were listening to more Meshuggah,
okay,
channeling that kind of chugga-lugga, mm-hmm, bass heavy stuff. I think this album has a lot more bass and drum grooves, mm-hmm, established. Less just harsh noise, scraping of the guitar. When I think, yeah, Enema, I think that, you know,
yeah,
kind of sound, you know.
That was a really good impression.
Thank you. And getting this on the spectrum, we're taking things out of order, which maybe complicates the experience.
Sure.
Four albums, and they've said that Tool is a band with the goal being to, like, express the inner anger and turmoil you feel at the world and at people. And Enema is, I think, the climax of the angriness, of that pure anger. I think the most vitriolic songs are on that record. The most pure white fire hatred for things comes
Enema
through. Enema is, okay, yeah. And then everything from that is kind of a slow slope down.
Okay.
This is the most recent Tool album we have. It's the closest thing we have to resolution on that story. And so in a lot of ways, I think the songs are still maintaining instrumentally heaviness,
mm-hmm,
but vocally it's way toned down. It's way more balanced, way more zen. The lyrics on this thing are much more introspective and
I agree
reflective.
That.
Consider this opening with Vicarious stating that, you know, humanity, we get our greatest pleasures from watching things on TV and violence on TV and, like, taking it in. We're all like vampires to violence and we crave that. And we might deny it, but come on, really? Oh, that's all you people care about. There's, and I think on an album like Enema,
yeah,
Maynard James Keenan would be more prone to scream and yell and get in your face.
Uh-huh.
And here he's just kind of like the malevolent demon sitting on your shoulder saying, like, of course.
Don't call him a malevolent demon if you want me to talk to you anymore on this podcast. Okay.
But maybe listen to some of his vocals in this song. Let's jump ahead in Vicarious a tad. I think, a powerful track. I need to watch things die from a distance.
Uh-huh.
Vicariously, I live while the whole world dies.
Well, okay. I'm going to talk about why I appreciate it.
Okay.
I felt like in Enema, whenever he got in his whole sneering, you know, 12-year-old kind
I'm
of...
better than you.
Yeah, you know, crappy angst. Right. Use a coaster, you monkey.
We'll get about monkeys later in the album. The monkeys come later, Mark.
Really?
Yeah. Right in 2.
Wait, what?
Right in 2? It's about monkeys.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, keep in mind, some of these vocals are kind of difficult
You're
to
right.
understand.
You're
I
right.
mean, I didn't look up lyrics, so
You're right.
no blame on me. I felt like the lyrics that hinge on this song are more kind of stereotypical lyrics. Like, you know, I want to watch things die. It reminds me of...
I need to watch things die.
Oh, excuse me. I need to watch things die. It reminds me of plenty of punk and metal bands who have said that stuff in the past. And it makes it more, like, swallowable. Like, there's something about it that
we're not talking about...
He doesn't feel like he is trying to make you feel crappy for liking him. It feels like he's trying to say something else.
Yeah.
It feels like he's trying to communicate something he feels. And it doesn't feel like he's pushing boundaries, but in this clumsy, awkward teenager way.
Yeah.
And I appreciated, for the first time... since we started, only wow. one album ago, his vocals. I actually felt that his sort of, I don't know, progressive rocky vocals were...
Yeah.
They worked.
I think he's got a great voice. And I think he's really come into his voice as time's gone on.
Okay.
Consider that this album was released 10 years after Enema, which is like
That's
more
a long
time than the Beatles were even a rock band. You
and
know?
Despite like, the fact this still feels so 15-year-old friendly... I feel like that maturity is totally listened. Like you can
yeah.
totally hear that it happened.
Yeah.
It's clear in the album that this is made by a man who has thought twice about things before
yeah.
he just decides to record them.
The other thing to mention about Tool, I'm not sure if it's all the time, but at least at this point,
mm-hmm.
the instrumentals always come first.
Yeah.
And the vocals are written and then added on top of it.
Really?
So okay. he will listen to what the band has come up with and then kind of come up with more lyrics to supplement it alongside. I'm not sure if that's always been the case or if that's just the way it is for this album. But oftentimes, guitar, bass, drums go into the studio together, write some riffy song, this thing, and then Keenan comes in and composes the lyrics and the vocals over top of it. I think it is a marked improvement lyrically. I like this opening single a whole lot.
Yeah.
Production is so crisp. I love the way Danny Carey, the drummer, sounds on this record. Mm-hmm. I think the drums are phenomenal. They are amazing. Phenomenal.
Oh.
I think that you may have personal problems with lyrics or content or the 15-year-old kind of feeling
Personal problems.
It's personally. But yeah. I think you cannot deny that all four of these musicians are absolutely good at what they do. Like, they know what's going on.
I can't deny it.
They know their way behind a microphone, behind a guitar, behind a drum set. They know what's up.
Uh-huh.
Deny it.
Why did he choose to make his bass sound like metal Seinfeld bass?
It's amazing. It's so groovy. Don't you want to just get up and groove to it?
Okay. Not once did I ever listen to this and think I want to get up and groove to this.
All right. Let me play a little bit of this, though. Okay. Think of this. That's super groovy.
Is it?
Yeah. I grooved to that so hard.
Yeah, that doesn't really...
That's my
go-to. That doesn't sound so new to me, though.
No?
That just like... da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It sounds like kind of just metal.
That's my go-to song whenever I'm like, hey, want to listen to some Tool? All right, I'll play some Tool. This is my stereotypical Tool noise.
Yeah. I don't think it sounds bad. I just don't think it sounds... I don't get groovy out of that.
Yeah. It's very chugga-lugga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But exactly. I love it.
Okay.
I'm so inside it.
Is that Jombi?
Jombi, yeah.
Okay.
Named for the Jombi character from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Well, all right. Let me inch closer to you.
That one's got some interesting lyrics about wealth and wishing things all away for you. Yeah, the lyrics are, "Here from the king's mountain view, here from a wild dream come true, feast like a sultan I do, on treasures and flesh never few, but I would wish it all away, if I thought I'd lose you just one day."
This is boring. This song is boring.
Nah, see, I disagree.
Yeah, clearly. But, like, to me, it's, what, it's like 11 minutes?
No.
8 minutes?
7:20.
Okay, whatever. It's long, I'm not a big prog rock guy. And unless you have a really killer riff that I can feel you building towards, which I do not feel that this song has, this song feels like a lot of familiar metal tropes in terms of composition. I do like that the bass is buried within the song because I get sickest of the bass fastest.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there's a lot to say on this song. I don't think there's a lot that happens.
One thing that is unique to this song more than any of the Tool song, it has the only talk box guitar solo in Tool's discography.
I know, and it's ridiculous. That is so annoying.
Not into that, man? Oh, I love that stuff.
It's like annoying, but it's not annoying in like a you know, punk way where it's an, like it's fighting something. It's just like we
it's
took
just
that
grooving,
noise, and
man.
Just,
we're just sitting that. We're just sitting on it, man. Just grooving forever. I love it. I love it. I think that's
not since Bon Jovi.
Yeah, you're right.
Has there been a talk boxy or talk box song?
Probably not. Probably not. But I
wonder why that is. I wonder why no one used that effect after.
Do you think it's bad?
I think it's ridiculous. And I think using it is ridiculous. Not necessarily bad, but I think it's flamboyant.
I think it's fun.
Okay, whatever. Jombi does not. I have nothing.
Nothing to say about Jombi.
I don't. Okay, how about this? How about this? I like Jambi better than anything on Enema.
Wow.
And I don't like Jambi.
Wow.
But I don't hate Jambi.
All of Enema?
I don't. Yes, I don't hate Jambi. I don't care for it. It's like too long. I don't like the sound. It sounds too familiar. It doesn't really do anything new. It just kind of sits for 7 minutes. You know, I thought it was 11.
It feels like 11.
It feels like 11. The next song is 11 minutes, right?
I think the second part is.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
Wrong. We got to talk about this. We got a two-parter here.
Yeah.
Where the album gets its name, Wings for Marie in 10,000 Days, part one and part two. This is a big thing to put in a Tool album, right? So, some background.
A long song that takes a long time to make its one. No.
Maynard James Keenan, his mother is the inspiration for the song. He names her in the track Judith Marie, and okay. The song is called Wings for Marie.
Uh-huh.
She's a very heavy religious.
She's very heavy.
No. Heavily
she's
religious.
Not heavy. She's thin?
Yes. Heavily religious Christian woman. And a lot of Keenan's internal anger and frustration has come from being brought up in that kind of household.
Uh-huh.
And in his side project, A Perfect Circle, on their first album, he has a song that's called Judith that's also addressed to his mother. Very angry, very vitriolic, attacking the tenets of Christianity, of organized religion in general.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, not into that whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 Days. The album gets its name from his mother, who was debilitated in the hospital for a span of 10,000 days. Many, many years of suffering in this horrendously debilitating medical condition.
Uh-huh.
After that time has passed...
10,000 days?
10,000 days.
How many years is that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
She was in the hospital for 10,000 days?
Or suffered with this condition for 10,000 days.
Oh, she had the condition for 10,000 days.
I'm going to Wikipedia this stuff real quick because that's...
You don't know anything about
Tool. I don't know anything about Tool. If you had asked me back in 10th grade, I would have been able to tell you all about this, but it's been a while.
Should I call 10th grade, Charlie?
Yes.
Ring, 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 ring.
Ring-a-ling.
Ring, ring. Hey, I'm your friend from years from now. Could you tell me exactly how many days Tool's mom was in the hospital?
10,000.
Oh, okay. Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Okay, here we go. The title, 10,000 Days, refers to roughly the orbital period of the planet Saturn.
The title.
Which adds up to nearly 29 years and marks the time when you are presented the opportunity to transform from whatever your hang-ups were before, the light of knowledge and experience lighten your load, so to speak, and let go of old patterns and embrace a new life. It's approximately 29 years. So
what about your mommy?
We're getting there. Keenan expected that the songs composed would chronicle that process, hoping that my gift back would be to share that path, and I hope that I could help somebody get past that spot. It is rumored that the album is a reference to Maynard James Keenan's mother, who was paralyzed for 10,000 days before she eventually died. So she was paralyzed in condition.
Oh, okay.
10,000 days, and then she also died.
Neither of the things she said.
Well, so the song 10,000 Days, though, gets into her actual funeral, and it's written from the perspective of Maynard James Keenan attending the funeral of his own mother and wrestling with the same problems he's had in wake of mm-hmm. loss of someone he cares for deeply. And so the opening lyrics to this track are, you believed in moments not conceived, you believed in me, patient in spirit, uncompromised, without us in your heart, a light in your eyes that ends all lies, vacant, broken, fell at the hands of these moments that I wouldn't see, because you pray for me too, what have I done to be a son to an angel, what have I done to be worthy, daylight dims, leaving cold fluorescence, difficult to see with this light. Please forgive the selfish question, but what am I going to say to all these ghouls tonight? She never told a lie, might have told a lie, but never lived one, didn't have a life, but surely saved one. It's time for us to let you go. So he's wrestling with these conflicts and recognizing that here's a woman that in spite of this horrific disability, in spite of all of these problems that he's had with his mother, with her perspective, she never faltered in her belief that she would persevere, and if she didn't, she would eventually meet her paradise at the end of it all. And he's thinking, like, to do that for so long, for 27 years, and to hold steadfast to that belief regardless. Like, what kind of person does that? How strong must that belief be?
Right.
And so now here he is, like, speaking to her corpse in the coffin. And he's like, Sam, what am I supposed to say to all these people that are here to see you? Mm-hmm. You know, he's still got that kind of, like, jaded adolescent, like, all these people, they don't deserve this. Like, you're so much better than all of them. But right. There's some true emotion there. Like, you know?
Yeah.
These disgusting people who are just posers in their religion or don't understand it, they never had to suffer a tenth of what you did.
Yeah.
Wow, you know, like, that's some heavy stuff to wrestle with on a track. And the fact that the track is so ambient and kind of, like, wandering, it's a lot of just, like, arpeggios in the guitar and heavy stuff. And then it ends with that thud, which is the closing of the coffin and then the burying of her body. And then the second song is her transcendence into that afterworld. Like, that's an amazing kind of prog concept to dive into, especially for a band whose previous endeavors include relating lack of feeling to anal fisting and, you know, Scientology, right? Like, that's a pretty, that's a heavy emotional thing to tackle, right?
Right. I think the other one is pretty heavy too, but, well, I'm actually super glad that that's not what Jambi is about, because I do have good things to say about the two-parter. Honestly, I think that this is one of the few songs I've heard by Tool that feels like it's written for a purpose other than, like, this is good, you know, like,
that's my reason.
I actually thought his vocals in this track were good. There are some vocal harmonies that surprised me that existed even in the Tool record, let alone worked. And this is a sound that I don't mind sitting in for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And despite myself, about 8 minutes into Wings of Marie, I was like, I'm not having a bad time. This is actually a pretty well-composed track.
Yeah.
Listening to none of the lyrics, of course, but feeling like this is composed like a musician composed it and not like a kind of snot-nosed, you know,
empty
kid. Yeah, exactly.
Let's play a little bit from the two-parter. Love those arpeggios, man, the build-up. So definitely getting the Tool experience in the build, but also the crescendo and the decrescendo on the other side of it.
Right.
I love just that thud that comes at the very end of this track. Then the coffin is closed, the end of part one, and then we begin the transcendence. And what is amazing about this is, for someone who has been so outspoken against religion, he channels some really heavy religious imagery in the lyrics here to deliver a powerful climax to this thing that is just awesome. He's quoting things like, this is the light of mine, you know, and playing with that kind of imagery throughout. Talks about the collective Judas, those who do not understand your suffering and are still here to feel like, oh yeah, she was great, and feel like they mean more to her than she does. Like, you're the only one who can hold your head up high, shake your fist at the gates saying, I have come home now, fetch me the Spirit, the Son, and the Father, tell them their pillar of faith has ascended, it's time now, my time now, give me my wings. Like, that's such a powerful moment for someone who's been in this debilitating state for 27 years and has held steadfast to their faith for so long to triumph through that. He's thinking, like, there's no logical way she cannot be rewarded more than anyone else in the entire world for what she has done in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that glorious kind of, like, entrance of her, like, saying, like, I'm here now, my time has come, I deserve everything that I have been saying I deserve my entire life. And to the swell of the guitar and the music that comes in there, that's a really emotional experience for me, man. That's like a really heavy...
For you're saying personally,
Personally, I feel the emotion inside of that. And It's powerful stuff for for a band that's based their entire career on exposing the worst parts of humanity and exploring them in their lyrics
and being them.
This is a lyric that I think is really inspiring and powerful.
Yeah, sure.
Who would not want that in the face of being someone that's very religious, very heartfelt, to have everything that they've ever been told granted in that moment, that swell of confidence and satisfaction. I think that's just so good.
Okay. Well, maybe on a more surface level, as someone who wasn't at all trying to look up lyrics and just hear what I heard and let it just kind of pass by, I'll say that as a prog rock song, I also think it is a prog rock song that has a purpose. Yeah. Whereas I often feel like prog rock is purposeless. It lasts 9 minutes for no reason. Like, there's no real need for it to take that long to come to its conclusion, but the joy in it comes from just taking its time and kind of noodling around while it gets there. I hate prog rock for that reason. I feel like it's not well constructed music. It's indulgent. But this felt like they had created a sort of soundscape that had more to do with getting across a feeling than it did with just sort of playing around with a guitar for no reason.
Yeah.
So even though I'm not a Tool guy, I have to say this, like, what, it was like 16 minutes total or something, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me that the song would be this long. I feel like it moves places, and I feel like by the end of the second half, it has reached a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
I do feel, however, that by the end of the second track, I can't help but feel it's ridiculous that I am only on track 4. You know, like, I'm like, how am I on track 4? I've been here for like 40 minutes. Yeah. What's the deal?
To be fair, the album is 75 minutes in length.
It's long.
With 11 tracks.
It's long.
They got some long ones in here.
Yeah. They got a few long ones in them, you know?
Yeah. But we follow that up, I think, with a relatively short one. And I think one that's more straightforward and just kind of a straight rock song.
Yeah.
The Pot.
The Pot.
The Pot.
There's are you about to play a clip?
Who wait, wait, wait. Are you to...
Wait, pause it. Because I want to say something that maybe you haven't felt in a while.
Okay.
Since you've listened to this song for a long time. Listening to this now fresh in 2017, my biggest fascination with this song came from hearing that vocal melody. And then it lasts a long time. So you're given time to try to figure out, what possible melody is about to follow this vocal? And it's really kind of a fun puzzle whenever he's going all over the vocal scale to think, what's about to happen after this? I genuinely have no idea. And it's interesting to feel, you know, like you have no idea what's next, kind of.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Wave your finger, you must have been out your hair. I hold deep in the you practically raised the dead. Rob the grave to snow the cradle, then burn the evidence down. Soapbox house.
Pretty great.
Well, get to the part, right?
All
right.
Let's get to the part.
You must have been.
I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to see you do that.
Pretty great.
This is the best song Tool's ever recorded.
No kidding.
That I've heard yet. Maybe albums 1 or 3.
Super funky.
Yeah.
Super groovy.
Maybe what I'm picking up on it that I'm appreciating wasn't that so much as you told me before, what's cool about Tool.
What's cool about Tool.
And that's how you put it. Was that every instrument was essential. Every musician was an important part of the
cog in the machine,
the composition.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I really understood what you meant. I felt that Maynard's vocals were weird, but they totally fit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this right now. I think Tool wrote a good song.
Wow.
I think The Pot is a good song.
That's bold. I thought for sure you'd hate this one.
No, honestly, I genuinely like the song outside of the context of recording this. I had a good time jamming to it. I came back to listen to the song outside of the album.
Wow.
Just because I wanted to hear the song.
I figured either the vocal stylings or the lyrical content would have
you. No, the lyrical content mixed with that riff. First of all, that's a strong bass riff.
Yeah.
It's strong. Great stuff from Justin and it doesn't get in the way of the rest of the instruments, which I feel like every other song does. Every other bass part does. I feel like the vocals are all over the place, but in a way that, like I said, is unexpected. Like, I didn't know what he was doing, and I like that feeling. I think the guitar is simple, but in it being simple,
effective,
it also carries a lot of weight to it.
Power.
And I think that the drummer is sort of really on
Danny Carey.
It's a great song. Yeah. I'm going to give it to you. The Pod is a good song.
This one's got, I think, some pretty basic wordplay, but it's still some effective stuff.
It reminds me of all the bands that came before and after Tool who were in their mom's garage going for it, but in a way that I really appreciate. I like having these simple phrases to turn your song on, you know, to have to orbit your song around as like, "You must have been high," like just the song about ennui.
Yeah.
I this was the one time that I have listened to a Tool song and from start to finish enjoyed all of it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, their most poppy song. This is the song that's most in line, like you said, with those other horrible bands. Like, I'm thinking of the people that sing Jars.
I don't know Jars.
You're Breaking Benjamin type.
Yeah, okay. I can see that, sure.
Who's the Jars. I gotta look it up.
The Jars.
The Jars, the song Jars. Chevelle. Chevelle is who I'm thinking of.
Send the Chevelle below.
Yeah. Send the pin below. But that sound is where
this is high school. The Pod is high school. Everything about the Pod is from high school.
Yeah. Who are you to wave your finger? So full of it. Eye holes deep in muddy water.
Yeah.
I like, but like the word
whenever he can you play the intro for me real quick again?
Just the opening?
Just his vocals in the beginning.
Okay.
I'll tell you in a pause.
Who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out.
Pause. The second he goes back up, there's no idea what's about to happen. Like, no one does that. You've just gone over the scale twice. Like,
that's awesome.
That's weird.
Yeah. And it's the shortest Tool song. It's a really short Tool song. 6 minutes.
That's great. Yeah, okay. So this is the poppy Tool.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way that I will appreciate them.
We should focus on their singles.
Maybe.
And you like Vicarious okay too, right?
I did. Yeah, I did like Vicarious.
Which I think is another one that's kind of mainstream. And
But so far, okay, what? You're 4 for 5.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
It's about to get worse.
It's about to get worse. Do you have any trivia I need to know about?
As far as the Pot goes, the Pot was a big single that did not get a music video. That was one in the lead off of the album. They were waiting for another video to come out for the Pot. Never happened. There are a lot of cool fan videos made out there, but there is no
I'm sure there's not very cool fan videos made out there.
There is no official Tool band video for the Pot.
That is the funniest thing I've heard today. There are some very cool fan videos out there.
But this is, I think, getting back into some of that more angry stuff. You know, who are you to wave your finger? You must have been out of your head.
Yeah.
And so the Pot has got two meanings here. The Pot meaning you must have been high, right? Weed. But also, he says in the chorus outro, now you're weeping shades of Cozen Indigo, got lemon juice up in your eye. You piss all over my black kettle. Kettle, Pot calling the kettle black, right? So you're being hypocritical, calling me what you are.
Right.
So like the Pot is actually like the black pot on the stove, the black pot that calls the kettle black.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you how I interpreted the song, not looking up the lyrics?
Is that about the kangaroo?
What?
Kangaroo, done hung the juror with the innocent.
You're saying a different
idea. That's
a
real lyric. No, that's a real lyric.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if I can find it. See your glow reversing your shady
inference. Kangaroo done hung the juror with the innocent. Kangaroo done hung the juror with the innocent. Well, don't think that's really related to my... my interpretation. Anyway, I think this song is about Australia and Crocodile Dundee's overall relationship with kangaroos. No. I took this song as a song about ennui. I took it as a song about sort of wasting away, being pointlessly bitter, smoking, and sort of wasting your time, and the angst that can happen within that. It's a pretty simple interpretation, I guess.
Yeah.
But having no supporting evidence whatsoever. That's just kind of how I felt it was about when I listened.
And I think a lot of Tool songs are kind of up for interpretation. That part of it is imposing your own personal experience and getting what you want out of it for yourself.
Sure. And I feel like there is something to being in the state of mind where you're just like, you're getting high all the time, or you have a friend. Yeah. This, to me, feels like a friend. You have a friend who gets high all the time, and you get annoyed at their sort of talking mess on the world around them, but not participating.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, you know, Tool, as I mentioned in the previous show, is often thought in one and the same as like, oh, you like Tool. Oh, you smoke weed. You know, like those two things go hand in hand. I think this kind of song showcases that they're not necessarily that band. They don't consider themselves that band.
I've learned that. Yeah. I didn't think that before we started doing this. And I actually felt like, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, you get high, you're an idiot, you go to the concert, whatever, you wear that shirt, you wear all black.
And the way he kind of spits it out, you must have been high. You must have been high. You must have been.
No, keep going. I was enjoying what you were doing.
That's when the drum bait comes in, so I had to stop.
I feel a little almost, I don't want to say annoyed about it because I don't feel annoyed, but I feel like I take issue intellectually with what they're saying a little bit in the sense that I did with Weezer. It's like everyone's on drugs and it's just very like, I don't like my friends get high sometimes. It's kind of like a lame straight edge message.
Yeah.
I feel like there's probably a lot of straight edge folks who are way into Tool.
Yeah. Cool. Good song.
I like the song a lot.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad. If there's one experience that's positive.
A regular, 4 out of 5 is positive. If we were doing a review of this album on the show, that would be a highlight. The pot would be a highlight for
me. That's cool. Definitely a highlight for me. Definitely a highlight. Of course, I would take Vicarious.
The guitar work, it has nothing to prove.
Yeah.
Which is what I like about it. Often with prog rock, I feel like you're trying to show off your technical skills as much as possible to the detriment of what the music is doing or trying to say, if it's trying to do or say anything. And I feel like the pot is all about just writing a great riff and kind of improvising off of that.
Cool.
And letting the sound sit.
Nice.
So.
Well, after the pot, we get our first interlude of the album, which have become much more rare in the time since Enema. But there are a couple.
Thank Christ.
Interludes. Life and Conjuring on this one. Did it do anything for you?
I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. The second that kicked in. There's a whole conversation to be had about cultural appropriation, I'm sure. We could have maybe an even deeper conversation with System of a Down doing the same thing.
With Arto.
Oh, yeah. Not even just their whole thing. I feel like they just borrow from other cultures. But exactly. Here's some vowels.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, though, this is pointless. This does nothing to add to the music. It's followed up by Blame Hoffman.
Lost Keys. Blame Hoffman.
I cannot believe they would take this dump in the middle of the record. Why do we have to have a skit? First of all, I don't care about Life and Conjuring anymore. Blame Hoffman is like the worst ER ripoff. Like, it's like the vocals are awful. Like, the actual actors are awful. The sound that's like just like the beeping. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Play a clip of that for context. If we were watching TV together and Grey's Anatomy came on, this sounds like Grey's Anatomy and you would think it was garbage.
Yeah, you're right.
So why does it work here?
It doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, no, I...
Oh my god, there's stuff you don't like about Tool, there's stuff I like about Tool. What a perfect compromise.
Yeah, no, I...
Compromot.
Second time through here, Lost Keys primarily works as an intro to the content on Rosetta Stone, the following track.
Yeah.
But I gotta agree with you here that this is not great stuff. And the fact that it's like almost 4 minutes long of ambient music followed by shivering and that kind of stuff is not great. And the vocals are kind of held back. Like, you can't really understand what the doctors are saying.
What's the problem?
Like, they're Australian, I think.
Right. Doctor. That's the thing. We don't know.
We're grooving the whole way through here.
What's the problem?
And then there's a hard handbrake on The Life in Conjuring and in The Lost Keys.
You know what? Everything that comes after The Pot, it's just a big downhill spiral for me. Okay. I mean, I was amazed that I was having an okay time.
Yeah.
And the rest of the album is just a lot more of that pointless experimentation that does nothing and says nothing. It's a lot more, you know, obviously Blame Hoffman is just a bad skit. Whatever, I'll deal with the, you know, 3 minutes or whatever. Right. But Rosetta Stoned, it builds to a point that's okay, but it takes a long time to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm already kind of annoyed from the last two tracks, and I don't know if I have the energy anymore. And the fact that I have another like 30 minutes, it's not paced well.
Yeah.
There is no, listen, in prog rock, there's no sense of the audience's time. There's no sense that like I need to do stuff that matters exclusively. There's just a lot of maybe this is good and throwing everything onto an album.
Consider Dream Theater's The Astonishing.
Exactly. No, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
I get so annoyed with that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not about everything has to be of substance or important, which is fine if what you're doing on its face is just interesting, even if it's a gimmick, but I don't think it is. Rosetta Stone totally throws me off, and then the last three tracks, especially the last one, which is just noise, they're completely unnecessary.
Okay. I give you Life in Conjuring. I give you Lost Keys. I give you Vigente Trace, however you say that. But I think Rosetta Stone is not my favorite song.
It's called Rosetta Stone.
Yes, that's kind of funny. Consistent with Tool's humor, I would say.
Okay.
Humor in quotation marks. But Rosetta Stone sounds...
You say humor, I say punishing psychological torment. You know, either way.
Rosetta Stone sounds nothing like any other Tool song. That's a fact. Contemplating the whole truth of people think we just enough to blame enough filled men enough split the skylight like woman open and release men to see in a place like this. I regret it. Diamond something right on my burning sock. Right, so let's dig into some of those lyrics. It's kind of fun. So it's about an alien encounter. Did you get that?
No, I didn't get that.
So the guy is like freaking out in the hospital. Remember that guy?
Oh, you know, sorry.
Okay. So they say, tell us what happened, right? And then we get that doom, 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 doom. And then we hear this, all right, then. It's like robotic voice. Picture this if you will.
Hey, I have a really fun Allen Ginsberg poem to read to you.
Okay.
If I approached you and I said that, you go, I don't think so. Why does this penetrate you? Why does this get through that wall?
It doesn't.
You don't like this?
I don't love it, no.
I thought you just said you give away everything but Rosetta Stone. It's funny for Tool. That's what you said.
It is funny for Tool. And it's definitely different sounding. They're pushing themselves in some new
Tool is
ways.
So unfunny, it's demented. Like, if you could be if you had demented unfunniness, it would be what Tool is.
Okay. But then we get into this guy saying, like, you are the chosen one. He was delivered the message. And then he forgets what the message is and he can't remember what it is. He's freaking out because I told him to say something to the human race and he can't remember what it is.
I don't care. I just don't. I just can't care.
I can't really dissuade you of that. It's cool.
You heard that and you thought.
What cool. I do think is an underrated and underappreciated song on this album is track number 10, Right Into. This is the monkey song I was talking about earlier. Let's play a little bit Right Into. I think at this
time
point.
Time stamp for the song. How long is it?
8:54.
What's it about?
Monkeys.
Does that need to be 8 minutes and 54 seconds
yes.
long?
Yes. I think at this point in the record, a lot of folks are exhausted after Rosetta Stone, which is a long track.
Yep.
I think this deserves contemplation.
Speaking of Father John Misty, right?
Don't these talking monkeys know that Eden has enough to go around?
Yeah, yeah.
But, again...
FJM all over it.
There's something to be said about a band that has come across so anti-religion. And now here giving some sort of reasoning to support the idea of both religion and science coexisting together. Mm-hmm. So the whole song is from the perspective of angels watching creation on the sideline. Why did Father give these humans free will? Now they're all confused. Don't these talking monkeys know that Eden has enough to go around? The idea that we are talking monkeys.
Right.
That we have free will, consciousness, rationalization, but we're also from the same world as the monkeys. And that idea can coexist.
You can buy their albums.
Right. Hey, we're the monkeys. But that idea coexisting with religion. I think as far as religious thought goes in the 21st century, that interpretation is the most valid and meaningful one. That
what of all people who have talked about religion, all scientists, all philosophers, that's your
not
thing?
That it's Tool's perspective entirely, but Tool is tapping into a perspective that I think is the valid interpretation of that kind of idea in 21st century. Because so many folks that are religious people now see science as the antithesis of religion. You can have either religion
except
or
people
science.
At the Vatican, except the Pope. What are you talking about?
Yes, they're right.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's the idea that's being channeled in this song.
What are you talking about? No, okay. If I
science is
you
real.
Look crazy. Okay, Charlie is rubbing his hands through his hair like he's truly having a freakout. Okay, if I handed you FJM lyrics that stated this exact thing, you would tell me, like, oh, God, we're talking about monkeys.
I don't know about that.
You would.
I liked Pure Comedy, I think, more than you did.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Sure. Yes.
Monkey killing monkey killing monkey over pieces of the ground.
So, wait. This is valuable because it references evolution and religion in the same thought.
Yeah.
As both possible?
Yeah. They're coexisting.
Okay.
I think that's good.
Okay. Well, but it's not Tool. Tool didn't.
No, but Tool's tap. For what's unique for Tool is they're a band that has, until this point, been expressly anti-religion. And here they are acknowledging some type of religious presence in the world. Forget about attaching it to his dead mother, who's ascending into heaven after her 10,000 days in torment. Here they are reflecting on existence and the nature of humanity to tear each other down
okay. When
we're all just monkeys, you know? But it's divine spirits calling us monkeys in the first place. So it's all very...
Literally Pure Comedy does this.
Yeah.
Better.
And I like Pure Comedy.
It does it better.
I don't know if it does it better.
It does it better.
I think it does it in
it's
similar
funnier.
Ways.
It's better and smarter and funnier.
I don't think the Pure Comedy...
It takes less time. It says more and it's funnier.
It doesn't have the religious tone to it, though.
Yes, it does. He references that we're... Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it doesn't do the religious thing. Maybe that's just in my head.
Silly monkeys.
Because he refers to us as godless animals.
Right.
So you're...
We're not monkeys. In this song, we're monkeys. Silly monkeys, give them thubs, they'll make a club and beat their brother down. Did you see Planet of the Apes?
Is that a lyric?
No.
2001?
I think this is a really good song. I think it's understated for Tool, which is an extreme rarity. I think it is intelligent in its lyrical creation. I think that the musical accompaniment inside of it is...
it's got bendy strings. That's kind of interesting. It does.
It's very different, right?
It's not a traditional Tool song. I'll give you that.
And it's buried at the very end of this album that yeah. I think a lot of people get exhausted on the first half, especially mm-hmm. being 75 minutes. They skip over this one. They don't spend time with it. I think it's really worth time sitting with. I think it's really good.
I think it's a huge mistake to have just in the third track your heaviest and most weighty emotional piece the last 20 minutes. This is... The track listing for this, the sequencing, is awful. The fact that that's track number 3 is insane. Like, yeah. You know, and then you bury The Pot, which is a way less consequential single. It's a very good song, way less consequential single to bury that beneath that. This would be way more powerful before that moment, speaking as an album. You put this song towards the front or towards the midpoint, more likely,
and
then save that medley for the last, that two-part song for your finale. That makes way more sense to me.
Yeah.
That you end with a good moment. But like right here at the end where you've already had your biggest moment of emotional climax and then you follow it up with some metaphors about monkeys in Eden, it just doesn't do it for me.
Would you like the song better if it was earlier in the record?
I don't know. Probably not. But I do think it's sequenced badly. So.
I'll give you that. And I'll say that this album on the whole is maybe not as strong.
Okay.
There are some as individual Enema. Songs, but I don't even know. I'm questioning everything now.
Wait, what do you mean?
I think that Vicarious, Jambi, The Pot, Right in Two, and the pairing Part One and Part Two, all of those individuals are so strong. But you mix in stuff like the Rosetta Stone plus the skits.
Rosetta Stoned, please.
Rosetta Stoned. Mixing with the skits and the interludes.
Yeah.
And it's not quite a complete package. It feels disjointed in some weird ways.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like a Tool album. But I'll say, like, this has quality as an album.
It has qualities as an album? It is literally an album?
No, it has quality as an album. Like, okay. I feel that there are moments on this thing where I am totally enjoying myself and I'm appreciating them as musicians. So this is way better than Enema for me as an experience. I'll give you that.
I think critically Tool fans would say that Enema is better than this. And I think actually there's a pretty decent size of Tool fans that say this is their worst album. They straight up dislike this.
Because I think Tool fans started when they were, you know, 13 or 14, and they latched on to the angst. And the second that they started to write more condensed and composed pieces about different things, they are like, why is this, like, for other people?
Yeah.
I'm going to make that sweeping judgment about Tool fans.
I think that's probably fair. I'm looking up some Wikipedia stuff on 10,000 Days. General consensus on the album. Seems like most folks are enjoying it about as much as you are. General consensus. Rolling Stone, of course, gave it a 3.5 out of 5, as they give every album. even Sputnik Music gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Stylus Magazine, a 33 out of 100.
Is this on Metacritic?
No. On Metacritic, they have a 68 out of 100.
Well, where are you looking? Like, where are you getting these scores? Okay.
Pitchfork did give it a 5.9 out of 10.
Well, that was during their, like, we just started where Dorky is.
But also not really. I think 5.9 is a much more fair score than some of their previous albums.
Yeah, but, like, I still, if you read the text for that review.
Yeah.
You want to pull it up. Did
you read it?
I did. Okay. I've read it before. You know, I've never talked about this. There's a period of time in my life where I tried to get in a Tool.
What?
In high school.
You tried?
Yeah. And briefly after high school.
Okay.
Where I was trying to... I had friends who were into Metallica. You know, I was in a kind of really bad metal band. And I was trying to understand everyone likes Tool. So I tried my best. That and Fall Out Boy. I tried really hard to like and understand. Okay. And I could never cross the line. And I just ended up resenting them years later. But I did try. And I remember looking up reviews for Tool's albums.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm misremembering. But I remember the review for 10,000 Days. Because I remember these. The goggles. Right. But I could be wrong.
Wow. I had no idea.
I mean, but it was a brief thing. It was like a few days. I'd listened to a thing and didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also gave Lateralis.
Okay. Also at that point, I was taking anything that was in a Rock Band or Guitar Hero soundtrack as gospel as what was the most important rock bands. And once I heard the Guitar Hero World Tour was featuring Tool before the game came out, I thought, well, surely I'm wrong about this. I need to really try. And World Tour was awful.
Yeah. Lateralis is in that game.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
So you're taking the pot? Any other highlights you're taking?
I'm taking the pot. I'm going to take the pot. And I'm going to take Vicarious for my, what is it, 2000 what list?
6.
2006. I'm taking 2. Listen, you went from 0 to 2. That's a pretty huge leap.
It's an improvement.
Yeah.
For a highlight reel, I'm going to take Vicarious. I'm going to take Jambi. I'm going to take The Pot. And I'm going to take Right in Two. I love Part 1 and Part 2 of 10,000 Days.
It's hard to remove, though, from each other.
Either one. Yeah. And
as one track is 17 minutes or something, so it's kind of hard to justify.
It's too emotional to get into on a regular basis.
Because I do feel in some ways that that's the second best composed
track. It's really good.
It's just long to take away from the album.
All right. Cool. I'm glad you had a decent experience.
I honestly wouldn't mind listening to another Tool album.
Good.
I actually wouldn't mind it.
I'm going to reward you.
Oh, wait. Actually, before you do that, I wanted to bring this up on the show. So the way I listened to this was you handed me your Tool collection from high school.
Right here. Right? CDs.
I put it in my computer.
Yeah.
And I uploaded it to Spotify so I can listen on my Spotify on my phone. And obviously Tool's not on Spotify.
Right.
So all of the tracks do not have album art. Except somehow, the pot, it filled with album art with no action of my own.
Okay.
And it's amazing.
Is it
what Spotify decided was the album art for the song The Pot.
Okay.
Can I show you?
Yeah, please. The Tool. It's a gooey black and white gray face.
Yeah, and every other track is just that.
It's kind of reminiscent of the actual album cover. If like someone tried to recreate it in like a high school ceramics class from memory. Yeah. That's all right.
But is that weird?
That is weird.
Oh.
All right. Well, the journey continues, Mark. We are halfway done with our Tool journey, and I'm going to reward you for good behavior, for liking
Tool. Oh, great.
By saying, we got to listen to the best Tool album now.
Okay. Listen to the good one. Ready.
The best album that I think whole way through still holds up 100% all the way through.
Okay.
What if I told you that interludes were kept to a minute long as hell? That there were two interludes and they were about a minute long.
Okay.
What if I told you that this album contains the biggest hits in the Tool catalog to date?
I've been waiting for Schism. Right?
What if I told you that this album contains every member of this band firing at 100%?
Firing what? Are they playing instruments or is this part of the like Vanderlude?
Yes.
Okay.
Lateralis. It is time.
Okay.
This is my favorite Tool album. No question. It's the first one I've ever listened to. My absolute favorite. I think it still consistently holds up. Got an amazing set of music videos attached to it as well. It's a five banger. No question.
No question? You don't question it?
No question.
Great. How do you rank them?
I've been thinking least a lot about that. I think Undertow is my least favorite.
Is that the first?
That's the first one.
Okay.
I go back and forth.
So I get to go to the best to the worst, you're saying, to finish things off. Yeah. Okay, excellent.
But you might like Undertow. It's a very different record.
Okay.
I go back and forth if I like 10,000 Days or Enema more. I think Enema's got more songs on it that I like.
Okay.
Stinkfist and Eulogy and Enema.
Stinkfist!
Stinkfist is great. But 10,000 Days is the production that I love. And stuff like Jambee, like that stuff's great.
Okay.
But Lateralis has always been my favorite. So.
Okay, great.
Time for the big one. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I thought this album was the one that had that song that that's the only Tool song I was familiar with. So I'm looking forward to it. I have, at this point, expectations that I did not have before. So we'll see if maybe they hold up or maybe they don't. You know, this is different stakes than before, in a sense.
And this album is also 5 years older than 10,000 Days.
Great.
All right. Well, next time on Teaching Tool, we'll be discussing Lateralis, the band's third album. So stay tuned until then. Play the outro music!